Thank you very much for inviting me to come and talk to students and staff in social ecology here today with the on the topic, as it was given to me by Graham, the spirit of social ecology. I think it's mainly students that I want to talk to. I was a student here myself, and I have a lot of time for what goes on here. However, I wouldn't like anyone to think that we were just having fun or wasting time here today. So I'm going to present a short course consisting of 5 topics with an examination on 3 of them. I've heard that you people don't have enough examinations and you don't have enough lectures, so I'm going to give you both. And because I've done a course in social ecology here, I'm going to give you a few tips about how to cope when the going gets tough, which is most of the time. It certainly does my spirit good to be here with you today. The spirit of social ecology, the spirit of anything for me, is in the interaction, in this interaction. It's not exactly what you experience per se. It's not in what I do. It's in whatever happens between us, if anything does. And saying that, you can almost hear the ghost of Gregory Bateson, can't you? Well, these are the 5 topics. The first is autopoiesis, and there's an examination on that one. Next is second order cybernetics, also examinable. Then there's constructivism and language, which leads to making meaning and understanding one another. And the last topic is autopoiesis, again, with another examination. Well, number one, autopoiesis. Well, you need to know what is it, who invented it, and when, what it's good for, but we haven't got time to do that today. This is a very busy course, you know, so we'll just go straight to the examination. Autopoiesis means self-producing, by the way, and I'll come back to that at the end of the course. It's very important. The first examination is to sing a song, which some of you may know already. It does help if you've done the exam before. This song was my attempt to summarise the complete works of Umberto Maturana. Now, don't think about it too much. That's always a big mistake. Rote learning is the only way. So just repeat after me. I am an autonomous unity. My structure is very profound. While everything else is a line to me, I am perfectly round. My history, mystery, I will unveil, believing I know as I do. This world I bring forth is my own, and I love your autopoietical you. Not hypothetical, just parenthetical autopoietical you. It's a self-assessment whether you pass or not, but I need all the help I can to see. I can get to sing this song, and if you sing it, you will know about it in a different way from simply reading it or hearing it. It's actually called the Song of Autonomous Unities. I am an autonomous unity. My structure is very profound. While everything else is aligned to me I am perfectly round. My history, mystery, I will unveil, believing I know as I do. This world I bring forth is my own, and I love your autopoietical you. Not hypothetical, just parenthetical, autopoietical you. And we can repeat that a few times. Number 2, second order cybernetics. Some people have a bit of trouble with this, but if you at least pretend to know about it, you'll find it very helpful sometimes for getting out of tricky situations or logical traps that you might fall into. For example, say you contradict yourself accidentally, which can very easily happen in social ecology. You can get out of this by saying, I'm now going to take a second order view, so I've transcended the problem. I'm talking about talking, or I'm thinking about thinking, which is second order. Or I'm knowing about knowing, which is something else again. The second exam is so easy, I'm not even going to give you a hint. I think you'll pick it as soon as you hear the chorus of the song. Remember though, just to listen to a chorus is terribly academic, but to sing it is to experience what it means for you. I'm sure you already know how important it is to be objective and to treat everything as an object. And this is called the second order song. If I'm doing something to it, it's an object. To objectify existence is a must. By discovering the objects all around me, I know my world is something I can trust. Trust. But what if it is doing something to me? Have I become a victim of its way? Could it be I've given it my power? How come I don't seem to have a say? Second order, second order, second order singing is a song, song, song. Second order, second order, second order singing is a song. What is this that I am doing to it? Giving it its objectivity, as if it was completely independent of little old good for nothing me. I do believe that I was its inventor. Perhaps I only have myself to blame. What it does and what I do are not different. The action and the object are the same. Second order, second order, second order singing is a song, song, song. Second order, second order, second order singing is a song. Number three, constructivism and language. Constructivism is another very useful wink. If we all construct our own reality, then they can never say you're wrong about anything. I wonder why every student doesn't subscribe to this. There's only one problem, and it's a serious one, which arises from this, and from the theory of operational closure, which we didn't have time to cover before. The reality we construct consists of words, and these words can only trigger someone else. They can't inform. If we are closed systems, structure determined, there's no such thing as an instructive communication. So you can make your own reality, but you can't tell anybody what it is. You can only trigger them with words and hope something happens, which it often does, but not necessarily what you expected. So what we end up trying to do is to construct reality jointly, as we go along, as a social exercise, which makes it very messy indeed. So, another good tip for students is never talk to anyone else about what you're doing. It only confuses you and causes difficulties. The best way is to find a quiet corner in the library and learn everything out of a book in complete silence and just write your exam and graduate with a minimum of fuss. That's what I did. How do we coexist in the world today? How do we get along with our fellow? We just talk and our words make the world what it is. Talking up, talking down, our world. And they say it will be a great sight to see when the world is a better place. It will be one day, but the way it will be spoken by me, and will shine like the smile on my face. How do we coexist in the world today? How do we get along with our fellows? We just talk, and our words make the world what it is. Talking up, talking down, our world. Talking up, talking down, our world. Number four, making meaning or understanding each other. It's all very well to have words, but unfortunately there's something called meaning which is often attributed to these words. Because we have so much difficulty agreeing on the meaning of different words, they have large books in the library with all the meanings written down for you to check up on and prove your lecturers wrong, which is very enjoyable. Proving anybody wrong is so enjoyable and addictive that people do it all the time. The search for the compelling argument so that I can be on top and you will do as you're told. Because I'm right, that's why. But I have a sort of a trick to which I try to play on people who do that. I tell them that words are only connotative, not denotative. That words can't denote some external reality which can be validated independently of us ourselves. So the meaning is not in the words, it's in our interaction with them. I tell them that understanding is emotional underneath. It's only rational on the surface. We understand one another if our emotional patterns match. A moving together, a dance of your emotion and mine would lead to something we call understanding. But no amount of cleverness in choosing words will convey to you the meaning that I have formed. Meaning is not transferable. It's formed by individuals in the course of conversation. That's what I tell them, but they don't always like to hear it. But we can understand animals, and they can understand us. How else could you explain this? We are animals that use rationality to justify our emotions. But if someone doesn't want to understand about that, no words can ever be clear enough to explain it. I'm a rational kind of bloke, I think, but I do like to acknowledge my emotion as a kind of ocean which I have to sail on. What I'm doing affects the way I feel, my hopes and dreams. And sure enough, my dreams affect the things I do. Dreaming and doing, I go on my way. Where the road goes, I can't say. But dreaming and doing, I say unto you, I'm living, living the dream that I do. I said, my friend, how are you doing, El Chan? He answered me, I'm doing fine, yeah, I've a small piece of land, folks to lend me a hand, and I'm building a home that is mine. Just a little shack, you know, that's good for dreaming and doing. I go on my way, where the road goes, I can't say. But dreaming and doing, I say to you, I'm living, living the dream that I do. My friend said to me, how are you doing? I answered, yeah, life's going good. I've been everywhere, so I haven't a care, and I don't want for friendship or food. Uncomfortable, you know, just sort of dreaming and doing. I go on my way, where the road goes, I can't say. But dreaming and doing, I say unto you, I'm living, living the dream that I do. And number five is the final topic. Who can remember what the last topic was going to be? That's right, Autopoiesis Revisited. A final tip or word of warning for the unsuspecting student in social ecology. Now, they are trying to produce something at the end of this course to turn you into something which they have defined. An autonomous learner or critical theorist, communicator or something. This is an educational institution. They have to demonstrate some output. But don't you be fooled. The only thing you will ever turn into, and this is very lucky, is yourself. That's what autopoiesis means. To me, anyway. This is the final examination, and of course the most important, and it goes like this. I must tell you this in all due fairness, this is the bit you need to sing, that I will never be the same as you. I try to do a lot of things that other people do, but I produce myself. And that is all I do. That's the chorus of this last song. I like to think that all the clever things we produce, our art, our buildings, our technology, even our ideas, come about through our interaction with something. It isn't us. It's our interactions with one another or with the materials we use. I remember once hearing a potter working with clay saying, the clay forms itself into a pot. It really does. By interacting with the person involved, all that she was doing was being aware of the interaction. Now I'm a man who said that he was going to the top, claimed he had the necessary skills, who had a great ambition which nobody could stop, and said I'll do what anybody will. So I produced the goods for other people, I made a standard line that you could stock. I daren't make them wrong, I was the quality control, until one day it hit me like a rock, that I am not the same as other people. Even though I learned to do like you, I try to do a lot of things that other people do, but I produce myself, and that is all I do. I must tell you this in all due fairness, that I will never be the same as you. I try to do a lot of things that other people do, but I produce myself, and that is all I do. They told me that the most important thing was to produce, that output was the measure of a man. Advancement will depend on the amount that you produce, provided that it fits the business plan. So I produce the goods for other people. I tried to be as good as all the rest. I dared to hope I might become the ultimate success. Then one day they put me to the test. The only thing that counted was my output. I was only what I could produce. I want to do a lot of things that other people do, but I produce myself, and that is all I do. I must tell you this in all due fairness, that I will never be the same as you. I try to do a lot of things that other people do, but I produce myself, and that is all I do. And I know that the way that I am here with you, as we do what we can do together, is the same as the way that I am with the world. This and me, this and me, this and me. And from the two arises all my output. Always me with something else, it's true. I may not do a lot of things that other people do, but I produce myself, and that is what I do. I must tell you this in all due fairness, that I will never be the same as you. I try to do a lot of things that other people do, but I produce myself, and that is all I do. That completes the course, and you'll know if you passed or not by the degree of satisfaction that you feel in doing it. And I wish you lots of satisfaction at Hawkesbury in social ecology. Thank you very much.